You're listening to 89.1 WEMU, and this is Art and Soul. This week, Art and Soul is about the art of well-being, living better. And we have a special guest, Dr. David Mayer, an associate professor in the management and organizations area at the University of Michigan Ross School of Business, also part of the university's Center for Positive Organizations. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I recently read an article that you wrote that was called Want to Be Happier and More Successful? Learn to Like Other People. Is that a far-fetched concept?
What a concept,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
Yes.
How'd you come up with that?
It's very common for us to focus specifically on myself.
Right.
How could I be more resourceful? How could my self-esteem improve? We kind of miss a big piece of the puzzle here when we're not focusing on what's our fundamental view of other people. And I see this in day-to-day life and in professional life with students and executives. The way that you actually think about other people has important implications for your own happiness and also your ability to be successful at school and at work. It's a tough thing to do. I don't think it's our natural inclination. I think we're trained from a very young age to beware of strangers, to not be a fool. You know, you don't want to fall victim. So yes, I think I have to actively try to make sure I'm seeing something from someone else's perspective.
But how do you differentiate that between thinking of someone else's perspective and worrying what other people think of you?
It's definitely a fine line. We want to be self-aware and aware of others and not have that hinder us too much in our ability to get things done.
So if I take your concept of thinking about others, how do I make it so it's a healthy approach?
Right. So it could go awry. There might be times where you trusted someone. You had an initial inclination, I'm going to trust first. And it might not work. So I think there is a risk that you could get burned at times. Over the course of your life, all the people you interact with, the relationships you develop, it's so much of a better bet to bet on the fact that people are going to be good. And then oftentimes people will be more likely to confirm that view as opposed to the reverse.
I always think you get what you're looking for. So if
yeah.
you're looking for what's wrong, it's pretty much what you're going to see. And you're saying, Dr. David Mayer, that if you're looking for what's right, that's helpful.
Right. This is part of a movement in psychology and in sort of organizational studies around taking a positive approach. So that does not mean that we forget about the negative part. I mean, yes, there are people who might use other people and people you can't trust. So this is not ignoring things that are negative, but instead saying, well, what if we did focus on the best in others, that others are smart and competent, that they have good intentions, that they want to do well for themselves and their families, then what types of outcomes would we get?
I like that, taking a positive approach. And you wrote this article for Fast Company.
That's right.
And you talked a lot about work, how this applies at work. Tell us a little bit about what you had to say about that.
You know, if we're managing an employee and we're trying to provide feedback, what do we think about that person? Do we come to the situation thinking, well, you're either smart or you're not? If you do, Carol Dweck, a psychologist, calls this a fixed mindset, the belief that people, you know, you either have it or you don't. Whereas others think that people are mutable, that they change, that they grow and develop. And when we have that growth mindset, that's what it's referred to, we tend to interact with that person a lot differently. Why would you mentor someone who you thought couldn't improve? But when you have an approach where you think, yes, this is the type of person who can grow and develop, then you look for opportunities for them to grow. And ultimately, they think more positive things of you as a leader, but they also get to grow and develop.
So that's a whole approach to take as a leader or a teacher or someone who's running an organization.
I mean, I think you can think of it from an organizational standpoint. I think you can do this throughout the whole day, I mean, within your life. It is a lens to go through your life.
One of the things you wrote in your article is conflict is a difficult but often inevitable part of our work lives.
Yes.
How does it help us to know that?
You know, it's a lot of times conflicts come from some type of misunderstanding. And sometimes that can come from what we think someone's intentions are. And so if we come to a situation and we think, you know what, I've had some difficult interactions with this person. I think that they're not actually interested in my well-being. Then what types of ways might you act? You might You might not share information.
You're fired.
Yeah, right. Like, you might act in ways that would be really counterproductive in the long run.
So it's helpful for you as a leader or a boss to have that mindset and keep that in mind.
Certainly.
One thing you also wrote is that research suggests we interpret all emails more negatively than they are meant to be. Why would that be?
I think if you go all the way back, you can think about this from an evolutionary perspective where we tend to focus more on negative things.
Hmm. And we can't help it?
Well, we can. We have to work on it.
Yes, if you're mindful or self-aware, right?
Yeah. So we need to, many of us, it's not our main way of operating.
Our go-to personality.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so I think that's something that we really need to focus on. And because we might be evolutionary reasons, we might fear what will happen in the environment. And so it makes us more risk-averse. And so we pay attention to the negative things that might occur. And so this could be true for lots of forms of communication, but email in particular doesn't have the benefits of eye contact and gestures and that make things more, you can gather more information than just the words.
I'm assuming the same for texting as well.
I think it's probably worse.
Yeah. So the solution is three words: assume positive intent.
Sounds easy, yes.
Right. And when I do that, people call me a Pollyanna. And that was another thing you addressed in the article, that research suggests when we perceive someone as innocent and nice, we tend to view them as less competent. So how do we deal with that?
Yeah, it's a real challenge. So this is actually a big issue, also thinking about gender. So there's a notion that when we think about people, we evaluate them on two dimensions. One is their competence. So are they smart and capable? Another one is warmth. So are they likable? And to some degree, are they a good person? The research shows that it's hard for people to hold both of those views of someone as being high in competence and high in warmth at the same time. And you can see this being particularly hard for women,
right,
who have stereotypically would be thought of more as warm. And so when they act in more competent or dominant ways, it's not always perceived very well, right? So this is a real challenge. And I think part of it is awareness. So the more you're aware, why isn't it that someone could have both of these characteristics? Someone could be a nice, good person and also be very intelligent. And then you start to look for examples of people in your life and you can think, yeah, there are a lot of people I know who fit that description. But it goes against some of the ways we tend to categorize
people. So as a woman in the work world, what do? Just be more self-aware?
We're understanding that better. We know more about this sort of double bind that women have. But I think there is a challenge in terms of how do you demonstrate competence in ways that are not overly threatening to other people. It's an unfair situation, certainly.
Yes.
But just from a pragmatic standpoint, you know, it's not about losing the more stereotypic qualities, sort of the warmth qualities, but also how do you show competence in a way that other people can respond well to.
Want to be happier and more successful? Learn to like other people. That's the bottom line from Dr. David Mayer, an associate professor at the Ross School of Business at the University of Michigan. We'll put a link up to your columns. You're writing regular stories like this now, and we'll put that on our webpage.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining us on 89.1 WEMU Art and Soul.